You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
The Senate certainly can bring about a censure resolution, and it's a slap on the wrist. It's a bad boy, Bill Clinton. You're a naughty boy. The American people already know that Bill Clinton is a bad boy, a naughty boy. I'm going to speak out for the citizens of my state who, in the majority, think that Bill Clinton is probably even a nasty, bad, naughty boy.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning Show, where we're not afraid to trim off the fat.
Let this be a reminder to you all that this organization will not tolerate failure.
It's LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday the 13th here on LA Talk Radio. I was going to say PBS Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. This is Sam in the Morning. It is 9 o'clock, beautiful day in Southern California. And we've got a great show for you. We have a guest in the studio, and we're going to have another guest coming in a little bit. So let's introduce our guest co-host for this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you're Andrea, right?
Andrea,
If I ever get over the fact that I want to call you Andrea, then we'll be okay. So if I call you Andrea, please forgive me.
I'll just throw this headset at you.
Yeah.
Call me Andrea.
Do you get that quite a bit?
No, it's okay. Yeah. I mean, there's different pronunciations. So
yeah.
Andrea just makes me sound, you know, more sophisticated.
More sophisticated.
Yeah.
So you live in LA now, uh-huh. right? And you said you moved from somewhere.
Where New Jersey.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How long ago?
14 years ago.
14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you're an Angeleno by now.
Yeah, I was an Angeleno the day I landed.
Really?
I always wanted to live in California.
Really?
Yeah, when I left New Jersey, there were 14 snowstorms that winter, and I was done.
Yeah, so even if you grow up there for all your life, you don't get used to that weather, huh?
I don't get attached to things, Sam.
Yeah. I know, because many people like complain about the weather. That's why I moved to Southern California. But I'm asking, you've been with this weather all your life. I would think you'd be used to it by now.
Well, I never liked it. I never liked the cold, so you know,
So you got a lot of warmth here.
Like it.
Yeah, and you're in the valley, so you get heat.
Yeah,
you get a lot of heat.
It can't be too hot for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Then you should move to Vegas or Palm Springs.
I did live in Vegas for a little while.
Did you?
Yeah.
What years did you live there?
I lived there. I did a film there in '94, so I was there for a year, from '94 to '95, and then I lived there when I was a kid for a little while, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. My mom lived there.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Like in the 70s, 60s, 70s?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Well, I'm not trying to
Sam,
to figure out
now.
Your age. No, because
no,
I'll tell you why. I lived there in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
I lived in Vegas from 76 to 79.
Yeah, it was probably around the same time.
Really?
Yeah, I was 2. You were 12.
Oh, I see. No. Okay. Probably something like that.
Where did
that.
You live?
Yeah.
What part of Vegas?
I lived on the east side. I mean, mm-hmm. because there was nothing else. You know, Tropicana mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Boulder Highway,
mm-hmm.
that area.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was like the center of Vegas at the time. You know,
I know.
There was really nothing
and
going on.
And you could get
there.
Anywhere really fast.
Exactly.
There was no traffic. Yeah.
Yeah, there was hardly any people there.
Yeah,
you know?
I loved it.
And I know, I loved it too at the time. And now I can't stand it.
It's horrible.
Just too crowded.
Yeah.
And then I also lived there from 93 to 95,
uh-huh.
I believe.
So you were the same time I was. We
really?
Filmed Casino there. Do you remember that?
I don't remember when they filmed it, mm-hmm. yes, but I did see the movie. So you were in that movie?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What part did you have?
I had a great part with Sharon Stone until they cut me and put me on the editing room floor.
Really?
Yeah.
So you never showed up on the film?
No. I have
the
picture of it on my MySpace, though.
That sucks, man. I mean,
yeah.
you're in the scene with Sharon Stone and they cut it out.
Oh, yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was a great experience, and you know, I got to work with Martin Scorsese, so it was
That's
my first
true.
film. So
can you still use that as a credit on your portfolio?
I think I just did.
Oh yeah. Well, you did.
I
here,
use it all the time. I use it to get parking this morning. Whenever I can bring it up, I do.
Hey, I was in Casino with Sharon Stone.
What do you mean there's no I need a reservation? I was directed by Martin Scorsese. I'll take that table by the window.
He's a very interesting man, though, huh?
Oh, yeah.
He's like very deep, you know?
A little nuts.
Yeah,
little
he
nuts.
Is. He is.
But he's a great guy.
But I love when he talks. He's got this way of talking,
yeah.
you know?
And he's always tucking his shirt in his pants every 5 seconds. All right, here's what we're going to do. All right, Bob, Joe. Yeah.
yeah. And then for many years, he never won the Academy Award
no.
until last year, right?
Right.
Or the year before. he finally won, you know.
Right.
Which was, I think he had it coming. I mean, he made some of the greatest movies ever.
It's true. And I didn't agree with what he won for, but I think he should have won for so many other ones.
That's
Raging
true.
Bull and
That's
Goodfellas.
True.
And
what did he win for? Gangs of New York or something?
Gangs of New York, or did he win for The Aviator?
It could be The Aviator. Yeah. I thought it was The Gangs of New York, but who knows?
Who knows? Maybe it was. Yeah. I didn't love Gangs of New York.
I never saw it, so I don't know. But Taxi Driver, for example.
Oh, my God, amazing. You know,
or Good Guys, right? That was his, too.
Goodfellas?
Goodfellas,
uh-huh.
I mean, yeah.
Goodfellas?
Yeah, Goodfellas.
Yeah, Mean Streets. I mean, he did so many great films. Yeah,
I know. Great. So you got to work with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, can I touch you? I mean...
Sam, it's a little early for that. You got to buy me a drink first.
No, but I respect you.
I warm you up a little bit in the cappuccino.
Well, I did give you a cappuccino.
Yeah.
There you go.
Put a little Bailey's in it, we'll see.
So you're a comedian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you perform often around town and stuff?
I do. It's not that often. It's not like a regular job, like 9 to 5. But I do the Laugh Factory and the Comedy Store, and the HaHa is pretty much my home. I love the HaHa.
So where's the HaHa?
North Hollywood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, on Lancashire Boulevard.
Oh.
Yeah. They were the first people to ever put me on stage, so I always give them a shout out. Good people, Jack and Terry. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering if that's where I went... but you see, if that's the place where I went, you would have known Johnny Dam, you know, because he works there quite a bit, I think.
Yeah, but not necessarily, because it depends on the night. You know
what
I mean?
Right.
He might have been there a different night than me. I do a show there once a month for charity, called Friends with Benefits, and then I hosted my own show there once a week.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So you're into comedy. You always been into comedy?
I think I always was into comedy, but it was sort of, I was sort of just classified as a bad kid.
Oh.
Now they call it you're a comedian, but in school I was like much more interested in making people laugh than,
really,
I don't know, social studies.
So when did you decide to make it a career or something?
I went to work at the Laugh Factory. I was assistant to the owner of the Laugh Factory, and I was managing comics.
Oh.
And one of the comics that I managed tells this story. He says, yeah, my manager just looked at me one day and thought, I could do that.
Yeah.
I'll do it. You know? And that's what happened. Then I just started doing comedy.
Wow, cool. And you write all your own material?
All my own
stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do have a clip here for you.
Oh.
And I was going to ask you if you like comedy and I'd play you a comedian, but I think I let the cat out of the bag. So
okay.
Let's listen to a little bit, because I never heard your comedy.
Sure,
you know,
go
so
for it.
Let's go for this. Andrea.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound very clear, but let's hope.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. For Jamie, one more time, you guys. Yeah. A beautiful man, right? Beautiful man. I'm just glad that steroids are not illegal in promotion.
He's ripped. He's a big guy, really ripped.
Come on, yeah, a little help, admit it. Good looking crowd. Good looking people. That's just
stroking
the
audience.
In LA, right? Where's the single people at? Come on, single people, yeah? I like how you raise your hand like you're in fucking school. Right here, teacher. Spank me. Where's the married people? Yeah. Okay? Do you see what I'm talking about? If anybody was thinking about getting married, that's why you don't do it. Because I was married, y'all, let me tell you something. Marriage sucks. It does. Because you know what sucks about marriage? It's the same person. You know what I mean? It's the same.
That does suck.
You don't think about that when you say I do, and then you see his face every fucking day. You're like, oh, not you again. Because, right? Because sex is only exciting, like, if it's, you know, what's great about being single is options. That's what's great, right? Single people, we have options, right? We don't know. I could fuck you, sir, tonight. Who knows what's going to happen, right? I could fuck you tonight in your car, which is a what? Mercedes-Benz, that's definitely going to happen. That is definitely going to happen. Yeah, baby.
Well, I'm going to stop this because the quality is very, very hard to understand.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But this is funny. This is funny stuff.
You're married, right?
I'm married for the second time, yeah.
For the second time.
For the second
time.
Keep
doing it till you get it right.
Yeah.
That's what I
say. I know. But no, this one I sort of like, it was out of need, really, you know. But I'm not, you know, I mean, marriage is okay.
Wait a minute,
but
did you say this one was out of need?
Out of need,
what
yes.
What does that mean?
Means that she needed to be married.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like, you needed to get
married. No, I didn't need to get married. Yeah, in fact, I vowed to never get married again, and I did. You know.
And most people that have been married vow that, because it's hard. Yeah. Marriage is hard.
It really is, you know, because I feel that men and women, you know, as human beings, mm-hmm. we're not monogamous, you know? I mean, we're like, you know, it's not in our nature.
You know what I love about you? I love that you said men and women, because most people say men. Oh. They think that women, you know, we want to sleep with the same guy every day.
No, but I think just as nature. Yeah,
I mean, it's normal.
Look, and not only that, I'm not even talking about wanting to sleep with someone,
right.
but being attracted to the opposite sex.
Sure.
You know, so all your life you're attracted to a lot of different guys if you're a girl and whatever,
right.
or if you're gay, and so you're attracted to the opposite sex, and then one day you're supposed to stop,
right?
You know. And only like one person, mm-hmm. you know, and be attracted to only one person. Now, I think we can definitely get used to living with one person and everything, but it doesn't mean we stop being attracted to the opposite sex,
right,
you know?
Right.
And that's what people don't understand. That's why I think marriage is not really a natural state of affairs.
No, I think the only way that it works is if there's something deeper going on than just the physical attraction. You have to really dig the person. You have to be, what they say, like my dad's married now to the second woman for the 25 years, but they're best friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? They love just hanging out together, going to the movies together, watching the game together. They love all that.
Right.
So the sex is like a bonus on top of that. But if you get married to someone who you're just hot for, that fizzles.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, eventually, you know, because I think we're wired to have a variety and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think marriage is good for, like, if you're going to have kids and a family and stuff, you know, then it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it's just, you constantly get pulled apart, you know. And that's also in other monogamous relationships. Like, if you're not married, if you just live with someone for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just that after a while, you just want something else.
Right.
You know, and...
Right. So you like pizza. You don't want it every day.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Let me have steak and hamburgers, too, you know.
Right.
But I see that with everybody, you know, that's why I have so much cheating and stuff like that, you know, but I guess as cultured people, we're trying to sort of make sense of it all, and we say, okay, so we'll stay with one person, and it does work, you know, I mean, other than sexually, it works, you know.
Yeah, you can make it work. But a lot of people aren't doing that. Kate Hudson is having open relationships.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So she said after she got divorced that was it. She was just going to have open relationships. And
nice.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you have her number?
Yeah. I think it's on her webpage.
She might be interested. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's hot, though.
Mm-hmm.
She was married to the guy from a band. What was
it? Yeah.
Black Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she married, Black Rose or something
Black
like
Rose?
That. Yeah.
Kate had to marry the guy from Black Crowes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're divorced now? I didn't realize they got divorced.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been divorced for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
It shows you how much I follow
and
that
And she said she'd call you when it didn't work
out.
Yeah,
there you go. Itch. You know. Yeah. Well, she can call now.
Okay.
I'm sure
Kate,
she's,
if you're listening, call.
Yeah, I'm sure she's
Sam's
one of the
waiting.
Listeners.
And his marriage was out of need, just FYI.
Yeah, it was out of need.
Yeah.
You're not going to let me live it down, are you?
Well, that was the greatest answer I ever heard. Yeah. I'm married out of need.
A need for someone to do my laundry.
That's what they were going to say. I needed someone to clean the house.
Yeah, there you go.
And have sex with me.
And she really spoiled me. You know, I don't do
it
shit around the house. And this is so unlike me, because when I was on my own and stuff, I used to do everything.
Did you?
Ironing, wash,
right.
clean the house, everything. You
and
know?
Then you got married and you stopped all of it?
Exactly, because I hated doing all
Does
that.
Does she work?
Yeah, she works.
She works and
yeah,
does
but
all
she
that?
Actually enjoys cleaning. So I figured,
oh,
so
gosh,
you do it, you know? If you enjoy it, do it.
She does. She enjoys cleaning. What is she, Snow White? Yeah. She's going around the house
Something
whistling.
Like that.
I love this.
Yeah, whistle while you work.
Yeah.
No, I don't think she loves it that much. But no, I mean, and she does what needs to be done, you know, and I totally admire that. You know, I think it's cool. Not to say that women are expected to do that, but she sort of like wanted to take control of the house. I said, okay. So you take the demands as well as the rights, you know.
That's her thing.
Yeah.
That'll all be in the divorce.
Don't say that.
You think it's sweet now. She's making a list.
Oh, yeah?
Never did his own laundry. No, I love to do it, Sam. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, unearned income. I earned all this.
Over,
Never got paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you been married before?
Yeah, yeah, really? I've been married twice.
Oh, really?
Like, I got married at 18, but I don't think that counts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got married at 17. I didn't count.
You did? Yeah, it doesn't count.
To a 16-year-old. And don't even get me started on
that. Wow.
But that wasn't... Yeah, I didn't count that one either.
Right.
So you got married at 18.
Yeah, I got married at 18.
Was that like a high school sweetheart or something?
No, I was in a band, and he was in the same band, and so we were on the road constantly together. And it was really just like, I don't know, this seems like a good idea. Let's do this. But yeah. It was a...
Not
was
out
a
of need, though.
No, it wasn't out of need. I needed his paycheck and my paycheck. No. I just wanted to pay him less. We're married. It's all going in one pot.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I didn't know anything about relationships. I came from a Catholic Italian family and very strict. My father didn't even let me wear jeans to school.
Really?
So
did you look like to get out of the house and marriage was a good
choice? Yeah, I was already out. I was already out of the house, but it was just like I didn't know anything about relationships. So I think there was like some sort of weird Catholicism in my head. I was like, I like him, he likes me, we want to have sex, let's get married. You know, it seemed like,
Wow.
And then, it didn't work. 15 months.
No, it never does, you know?
No, never. Yeah. You're too young.
You're too young, you know? I think even at 21, 22, you're still too young, you know?
Yeah.
Because, and especially many women, you know, will marry like right after high school, after college, without having been with another guy.
Right.
You know? And then you have to wonder, you know, what's going to happen 10 years, 15 years down the road? You're going to start wondering what it's like with other people.
Right.
You'll never know.
She's going to discover that there's more than 6 inches.
Like, exactly.
Woo-hoo. He told me it was huge.
Yeah.
And I saw this. Yeah, I'm out of here. Packing my shit.
And there's such a thing as girth, really.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we got a phone call. Let's see.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Andrea.
Howdy, Sam. This is Doug.
Oh, this is Doug. This is Doug Newsom.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and he's a very good friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you're calling from Washington. I haven't heard from you in so long, Doug.
Guess what?
Why?
Well, not really, but 2 days ago, fires were raging through Paradise, total evacuation. It's so far, it looks like our home might have been caught in the crosswinds. I don't know.
Are you serious? Have you talked to Don? Okay.
No, not today.
Really? Okay, well, Doug has a twin brother named Don, and he lives in Paradise, California, which is about a couple hours north of Sacramento.
Right.
So, and he runs an internet radio station from there, too. So now, Doug, you're saying that there were fires there, and you think...
still fires.
Really?
About 20,000 acres have burned. Yesterday when they evacuated, about 6,000 had burned, and it was 2 miles away just down the canyon. But we're the first people, you know, we're right there at the edge coming towards Paradise.
Right.
And they say it's already into Paradise. I mean, the home's probably gone.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
And I don't know if it is or if it isn't. I say, hallelujah, my home was worth $150,000 less than I paid for it. Burn, baby, burn.
Yeah, I know. But then Don is left without anywhere to live with his family, you know?
That's true. But we can start again. You know, we took all the important stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be a couple of weeks, BBS radio will be down. That's a fact, if this is the case.
Yeah.
What a madness. I'll have to move up here in this one single-wide manufactured home, live with me with 4 kids.
Oh, no, I'd run away, man.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, don't stay in the house. Wow.
But I always look at things positively.
Yeah. I know.
Man, it looks like you're growing like a bat out of hell. I'm so excited. Things are going well.
Yeah, we're really growing. And it's just getting better all the time. And with a new name now, you know. Andrea, we just changed our name. Yeah, LA Talk Radio. We used to be BBS Talk Radio. You see, Doug just mentioned BBS Radio.
Sounds like big, big bullshit.
Yeah,
radio.
Well, pretty much that's what people called it. But no, but it also sounds like CBS and BBC. So it sounded good.
What did BBS stand for?
Doug, what did it stand for?
Blog-in Broadcasting Service.
Yeah, LA Talk Radio sounds cooler.
You like it?
Okay, I like
cool.
It.
So,
you like it? Right? It just rings, doesn't it? LA Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Nobody's bigger than we are.
A great name.
Yeah, nobody's bigger than us.
No, it leaves no mystery.
No mystery.
No mystery.
BBS was like,
hey,
what?
Look, you already got a supporter there, and Andre, don't you there, Sam?
Yeah.
She does. I'm a big fan.
She's going to fight anybody who naysays LA Talk Radio. I can already tell.
That's right.
Awesome.
My people are from Jersey, so we fight dirty.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we have a Jersey girl here. I better be careful.
Uh-oh, clawing and spitting.
Yeah, and Italian to top of it. You know, all that brings to mind is Sopranos.
Right.
Be careful. So how are you feeling?
Well, you got to put up a picture of Andre so we all know what she looks like.
Okay. You can go on my MySpace.
Yeah, you can go on her MySpace. Give it out.
Oh.
Yeah.
MySpace.com/
Andre Anatoly.
Okay, I'm going there now.
A-N-D-R-E-A-N-I-T-T.
Andre, A-N-D-R-E-A.
N-I-T-T-O-L-I. See, I love it. He's going there right
Nitoli.
Now.
Yeah, everybody's going to go and see you. Well,
Andrea
that's what
Nitoli.
It's about.
Andrea Nitoli, yeah. See.
Nitoli, so you're a comedian.
I am.
Yeah, she is.
And you're 69 years old, and boy, don't you look lovely.
Don't I look good?
She looks good for her age, yeah.
Hey, I got another company. You ought to be doing our skincare products. That's just amazing.
You got it. I'll do that, too. I'll do it all. 69 years old. It's all holding up.
How did you pick 69 out of everything?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sam, okay. You're married.
Okay,
I can't explain this to you.
Picture, I'm jealous. I want to be your co-host, too.
Come on down. Fly down. We have another seat. We have two headphones.
Yeah. Doug used to live down here, and then he moved up to Washington State.
Why would you move to Washington State?
Well, that's where his mom
You only go there if you're running for the law.
Yeah, his parents passed away, so he went there to see them before. And everything.
And you stayed up there?
Well, I've got this home here, and I got a home in Paradise, which I may not have anymore, and I had a pad in L.A., and it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
It is a lot of money.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind living up there.
Not to. I'll be back. I'll get a place down there, but I really, you know.
Yeah. In the meantime,
it's beautiful here.
Yeah, you've got to come visit sometime, though, Doug. I miss you, man. It's been 3-4 months since
that's true. He has a tear in his eye right now.
Yeah, you
see. It's uncomfortable for me.
I miss him. Well, Doug is like a brother to me, you know. Both he and his brother. Yeah. So, we've been very close the past few months and stuff. And and this station would not have been possible without them.
Oh,
well,
sweet.
You know, Sam's just a brilliant man. He takes an idea and he runs with it. Gotta love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had inspiration and stuff. But
all right, before you two start making
now,
out,
now you have a reason
stop.
To come into the office early. Yeah. Sorry, I'm so bad. Where's my mind?
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that because it's the radio, you know. So
yeah,
people can't see me. I appreciate you saying that,
Doug. Now you don't live like in the city. How's the sex life going on? Are you getting any?
Do you know, I could go there with you, and everybody'd want to boo me off the airways.
Sam, I love Sam. He's got no segue whatsoever.
No segues.
He's like, Washington's a beautiful state. Anyway, are you getting any up there in Washington, or what?
Would you believe, a few weeks ago, I actually entertained a lady for 2 weeks, but after the first week, she asked me, you know, because I had a little run-in with the law here.
Right.
And they don't like the fact that you drink and drive up here. So they said, look, you're going to have to
pit
for a few weeks. And I did that. And she said, well, after the first week of getting to know her, oh, well, if I have to come over all the time, you're going to have to marry me. Now, she said it as a joke. But after a week, you know,
it
already
wasn't a joke anymore.
Alarm bells
go off.
Alarm bells went off, and I went very silent. I didn't know what to say. Even if it was a joke, I was kind of in hushed tones. And then another week goes by, and she comes over, stays the weekend. And right at the very end, she says, well, you know, how do you feel? How do you feel? Blah, blah, the whole nine yards. Finally, she said, when am I going to get girlfriend status?
Oh, my
status.
God, in a week?
2 weeks. So I shut my mouth. I didn't know what to say. I went red. I went silent. I sat back because I knew that I had to respond, but how do you respond to that?
Yeah.
So I kind of just blew it off and went on another comment. She kept on pushing that comment back. Well, I told her, I said, look. You know, I've been alone most of my life. I like it that way. I really, you should maybe come over maybe once a week, or I mean once a month, maybe for a few hours. But other than that, I just like my alone time. Yeah. Ooh.
She didn't like that, huh?
She thought that was terrible because she had already invested 2 weeks of her life into it and told me so, too. I've invested a couple, just on the weekends. I've invested my time. I don't want to invest all this time for a person who doesn't want my company. Well, what can you say to that? It was a perfect excuse. I said,
That sounds a little scary.
That's about it. No, 4.5 years.
Well, when that happens.
I blew my only opportunity.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? I mean, you got to think long term, you know? And when you hear.
Think long term. That's what I'm trying not to do.
She was trying to do.
Yeah, your well-being, I mean, for the long term. But, you know, when you hear stuff like this, you just run for the hills. You know?
Oh, my God, I'm 4 weddings and a funeral. My first lady, I every time I said, I had to. I had to every day. If I didn't push that button and say there was a chance, she would have left. And, of course, I was too young, my first relationship, and I kept on pulling those strings so I wouldn't lose her at the same time. And 3 years later, I felt so guilty that I was wasting her life.
Right, right.
You know, I broke my own heart.
Yeah, that's why I think it's better to be honest. You know, you both have to want the same things. But that is a little, that's a little creepy. That's like stalker. 1 week? Where are we going? Yeah. Where do you see this relationship going?
I know, some
going?
Women
One
are
week?
Very desperate, you know. Yeah, I think they are, you know.
Well, I think it's because they don't have a life.
Women up here are very different.
Yeah.
Women up here are very different.
Well, women are like that here, too, I think.
No. The women there, you have to work at it. The women here... They throw it.
Yeah, they work on you. Yeah, because there's not a lot of people there, right? So the selection.
Well, there are, but most of the people don't have teeth, and those that do, you know, are blood.
I'm starting to see why you're staying up there. Starting to see what's happening here.
Yeah,
patches of the hair missing, you know.
Right, zero competition.
No, now I can actually walk the street and I'll get this guy whistling at me. Wow, different as that.
Nice.
Well, that sounds like cool, man. So you enjoying yourself for the most part?
I actually am. I'm getting a lot done. As you know, BBS has doubled its revenues in a few months, and that's a lot of work.
Yeah, we can...
It's growing like a bandit, so that's a lot of work. But it's you know, we hired two more people on at BBS, so I'm now thinking about taking a vacation now and then.
Yeah, you should. BBS Radio, for those who don't know, that's our sister station, and they carry all spiritual content, you know, metaphysical stuff in that. And
cool. Yeah, all it's the pretty stuff cool. That will make you really, really think about your inner self.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
That's important to you.
Not really, but...
Not here in L.A., Doug, but maybe up there in Washington.
No, turn on the news. I want to talk about other things on the world scene. Right?
Yeah, we're interested in our outer self. Up there in Washington, it's all about the inner self, because you have no teeth and patches of hair.
That's right.
And desperate women.
Actually, we broadcast out of Paradise. We have about 100 different live productions going per week.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing, man. You guys are really good.
I think we're bigger. I went online, checked out Voice America, checked out HowardStern.com, checked out GNC Live, Republic Broadcasting. I think you could combine them all, and we get more traffic than they do.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't get more traffic than Howard Stern. Come on.
Well, go to MarketLeap.com. You'll find out.
Really? Well, I guess most people don't stream it, but they listen to it on the radio, in which case...
Yeah, that's the thing. We're the internet king, and Howard Stern might still have the, you know, the satellite visibility, but sooner or later that'll change.
Yeah, that'll change. And you know what? The more I read about this, the more I find out that satellite is just an interim solution, you know? It's not going to last very long. And we can already see local stations closing down and everything. So I think we're in the right line of business, definitely.
Oh,
the right place,
well,
the right
York
time.
I tell you that a New York phone, a pretty nice size one, phoned up, and they want to be an affiliate. And they're on AM and FM stations around the country, and they want to get an internet presence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then we just had an agency down there in L.A., Clean Agency or something like that, that wants to do business with us, wants to, you know, we get a lot of interest, but it's hard when you're building a company and you don't really know enough to make it grow to the next level, so you trust other people, but you don't want to take that step right away until you know more.
Right.
So it's like a catch-22.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Doug, I will let you go. Yes, I'm so glad you called.
I got a chance to speak to you. You see that? I cut you off at the quick. I love you, Sam. I miss you, man.
Love you too, man. Love you too, and I hope to see you soon, one way or another. Either I'll come up there, or you come down here, or we'll meet in Paradise if there's no if the house is still there.
Yeah, we'll meet in the middle position.
Yeah, somewhere. All right, man. You take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon.
Pleasure meeting you, Andrea.
Oh, likewise.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, that's Doug Newsom, a friend of the show, definitely,
of
the station, actually. So, they're like the brainchild. So if you ask me how did I get into it, I met Doug.
Mm.
And that's sort of like how I got into all
this. So he had a station going up there?
Yeah. They still have it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's very popular and stuff. But to me, it just, you know, I thought, you know, I don't listen to spiritual stuff and that. You know, I don't really relate to it. Although it's fine every once in a while. But the whole station was like that. And I felt, you know, we need something mainstream, you know.
So every show is spiritual.
Yeah. And here we have like one, and we'll probably add another one or something. Mm-hmm. But it can't be like the theme of the website, you know, of the station.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. You ready for a little break?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Back. Thanks for being with us this morning. It is Friday the 13th.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, is that significant to you?
Yes, very significant. No. No, you know, it's weird. I think it's one of those things. You don't believe in superstitions, but like I wouldn't book a travel date today. You know what I mean? Like if I had to fly.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fly today.
Really?
Yeah,
no,
you know,
you're kidding, right?
No, I mean, you don't want to jinx it. I mean.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, it's all bullshit.
You think
know?
So?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah? Come on.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
You know? In Judaism, 13 is a great number.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's when you have your bar mitzvah and stuff. Of course. Yeah, it's a great number.
Well, this is obviously a thing thought up by non-Jews.
It's a religious thing. Yeah, it's a religious thing, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, but come on. I mean, I think they go too far when they don't have a 13th floor in an elevator.
That's even more creepy. Yeah. Like, what happened to it?
Yeah, it's very creepy, you know.
Did you ever have it?
Yeah, well, you know, somebody on the 14th floor or actually on the 13th, they just don't realize
They don't know
it,
right, or the 12th, depending on how you look at it, right.
Yeah, so I mean I don't know why they make big deals out of all this and stuff, but it's ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any superstitions and stuff?
Like
black cats, ladders?
No. I mean, if I can avoid it, I avoid it. Though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's
like,
in the back of your
it's
mind.
In the back of my mind, right? Yeah. It's been put in there. It's been put in there. But that's like anything in our minds. You
that's
know, we're
true.
Just talking about this the other day. Our television, really, kids that grew up in front of television, it just programs your brain as to what you think is attractive, even as a man or a woman. You know, we're you know, programmed to think this is attractive. This is what an attractive man looks like. This is what an attractive woman looks like.
Right.
You know, and then there's a lot of pressure on people to get that, you know, who don't necessarily even know why they want it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And so consciously you say this doesn't make sense, you know, and subconsciously you're like, you know what? I'm not going to lose anything if I walk around this ladder rather than underneath.
Exactly, yeah. And then there's some people that tempt it and go, I really don't believe I'm going to walk under it.
Yeah.
Just to prove.
Yeah.
And then they trip and you go, oh.
And then the sky falls down, right?
Right. And then they knock into the ladder and you go, see?
Yeah.
You should have went around.
So what kind of topics do you cover in your comedy?
I do a lot of stuff on marriage, on being married, being divorced, sex with the same person. I talk about that. What else do I talk about? I do a lot of Catholicism humor, which, you know, it gets me a lot of...
It's your chance to get back at the religion that
right.
is instilled
Fuck
into em.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I talk a lot about... not a lot, but I do some Jesus jokes. Which,
do you really?
Yeah, which gets... you know, the Jews love it. But but the Christians, you know, they're not sure how to feel, you know. And it's scary when you go into a crowd because you don't know... You know, here we don't get a direct response unless somebody calls in.
Right.
But when you're doing a comedy in front of a crowd,
uh-huh.
you know immediately whether they like you or they hate you.
Yeah,
you know?
And if you bomb, it's probably the longest, 15 minutes, 20 minutes of your life.
Right, depending on how long you're up there. Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, that's got to be the biggest fear for a comedian is for the room not to be full.
Right.
You know, I mean, I went to some shows where there's three people in the audience.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Yeah, I'm weird, though. I like a challenge. So I, you know, especially if I see people that just have their arms folded and they're like, mm-hmm. you're not going to make me laugh.
Yeah.
That's my target.
Really?
Yeah.
You like that.
Yeah, I'm going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you succeed often?
Most of the time, yeah. Because people are there to laugh. They
want
to
exactly.
laugh. You know, I hate when comics get off stage and they go, oh, that was a shitty crowd.
Yeah.
Go, well, I don't know. Maybe you need to write better jokes.
Exactly. Maybe you're shitty. You
know? They just paid $50. They paid for a babysitter. They paid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They sat in traffic. They parked their car. Yeah. It's your job.
Yeah, they
it's
came to laugh.
Job.
You're right.
Yeah, they came to laugh. Nobody comes to a comedy show and goes, hey, tonight we're going to go out and see some comedy and we're not laughing. Don't you laugh. I'm not laughing. You don't laugh.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like
it's just
that.
A dancer who can't dance and says, the floor is crooked, you know.
Right,
it's the same thing, you know.
Exactly.
Blame somebody else, you know.
Yeah,
but it's never me.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's pretty much a thing going on right now, though, is that people blame, you know what I mean, blame mm-hmm. other people for their. I think that different generations worked a lot harder than the kids today. You know, my family, you know, second generation from Italy. You know, they had to work very hard, 2-3 jobs. You know, and learn to speak the language, and you know, and so I think today things are handed so easily to kids. You know, everything
right.
is instant gratification. They don't want to work for anything. You know?
Yeah, I know, and that's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. I mean, my son is 15. Every day, mm-hmm. something new that he wants. You
right.
know? And I finally told him, I said, you know, I mean, you don't have to have every game console out there and every video game that exists.
Right.
And every guitar that's out there.
Because there'll always be something else.
Exactly.
Right. And
that's
sets
exactly
up a want, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we sort of like try to make up for what our parents didn't do for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and we live in abundance, so we want our kids to have that.
Right.
But it's not necessarily a good thing.
No, I don't think it's a good thing at all. I think, there's a fine line between spoiling and providing for, you know.
Yeah.
You were supposed to provide for their needs, but not every whim. him and want. I mean, my daughter's 10, and she, you know, I got her cell phone last year because they wouldn't let her use the phones at school anymore to call. So out of necessity, I got it. And she came to me and said, you know, my phone is so last year.
Yeah, she needs an iPhone or something.
Yeah, I said, you know what your phone does? It makes and receives calls. Mm-hmm. That's what it's supposed to do. That's it. But her friends do have an iPhone. Yeah. Her friends have an iPhone.
iPhones and all the other phones, and they text all the time.
Yeah,
and
constantly.
And pictures and I mean the youth today is really, really different from the way we used to be. You know.
Oh yeah.
And they're more sophisticated because they're growing up in a more sophisticated society.
Totally.
You know. And
you know, I mean, I used to come home from, me and my brother would come home from school. I don't know where you grew up, but in New Jersey, we grew up in a pretty safe neighborhood.
Right.
And we would come home from school and get on our bikes, and you wouldn't see us until we had to go in for dinner. We never were home.
Yeah,
home
but
was
it
like
was
punishment.
Much safer then.
It was safer.
You know,
and
I think a lot of it is because of safety that the kids don't go outside. I'm sure if we encouraged them to, they would. You know, if there are other kids playing on the street like there used to be when I was a child, then yes, they would not be sitting home. But now they also get more mature, I think, because they hang around the adults more.
Yeah.
Because they're in the house.
And they're watching TV all day.
Yeah. You know, I mean, everywhere you go, you take them with you rather than leave them with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they mature quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why they have sex earlier and the drugs and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, your daughter is 10.
10, yeah.
Is that your only child?
No, I have two older sons. I have a 23-year-old son and a 20-year-old son.
Wow.
Yeah.
You make me feel young.
Thank you, Sam. Whatever I can do.
I'm good with compliments.
That's why I got up this morning. I'm like, I need to make Sam feel good.
Yeah.
It's what we do here at LA Talk Radio. Stroke Sam.
Yeah. So so I imagine they're out of the house.
Oh, yeah.
Do they live here?
Yeah, both in Los Angeles.
Really?
My 20-year-old's a guitar player and a singer-songwriter, real talented.
Really?
And, yeah. And then my eldest son, he graduated from CSUN, and he's going to be a director.
Really?
Yeah, I went to film school.
Nice.
Yeah.
They have a good film school there at CSUN.
Great,
I went to CSUN. I majored in business, but I know their TV radio film was pretty...
really strong.
Pretty popular, yeah.
It's just such a hard career, you know. But he said, you know, obviously I had him very young, so, you know, we kind of grew up together. So he says, I was in the house with an actress my whole life, so I know how to direct...
Yeah.
I know how to get you to do what I want you to do so I can direct actresses.
Yeah. You were the ultimate director in the house.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So that's good. So what's it like having grown kids? I mean, do you still see them a lot?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My sons and I are really close. I mean, one lives in Burbank. My other son lives in Northridge. And so we hang out a lot. It's interesting because I had them so young. So, you know, growing up, it was really hard for them because, you know, their friends were like, that's your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
you know?
A MILF. Yeah. I'll take her. So it was hard for them?
Oh, it was really hard
really?
For them. Hated it.
I can imagine.
I hated
you know,
it.
I mean, people looking at your mother sexually, you know.
Totally. Like, yeah. My son would say, don't you have any mom clothes? He's like, you think I'm going to the gym and working out like I'm working out to wear mom clothes?
Yeah.
If you want me to wear mom clothes, I got to, you know, get a minivan. And
clothes.
You know what I mean? What did mom clothes even look like? But in his mind, it was like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like Marsha, whatever, Mrs. Brady.
Yeah. But I'm sure now they appreciate the fact that you're attractive and everything. And
not so much.
No?
No. I mean, they do a little bit, but it's like if we're out somewhere, you know, I'll get the looks and I'm like, it's my son. They think it's my date, you know.
Not a cougar.
Yeah, really. I mean,
not a cougar.
Not that bad.
Yeah.
Gosh. I mean, I like I'm young, but not 21, you know. Yeah.
What's the youngest you ever dated?
I mean, 15 years younger than me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really robbing the cradle.
Yeah,
there.
I like them young because they still have hope.
So you are 69 years old according to my math.
Exactly.
You are 69.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I do like them. I do like younger men though because you know the older men get they tend to be more negative.
Really?
Yeah, when they're younger, they haven't really experienced enough life to know that it's not going to work out.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But what do you have to talk to them about? I mean, if they're in their 20s, you know.
If they're in their 20s, you don't really have to talk to them.
Yeah. Because you can. There's
nothing to say. No, it's true. I mean, my boyfriend now is 35, and this is the oldest guy I've dated, and... it's different. There's more. You're right. There's more to talk about. He gets
references.
So he's
the oldest you've dated?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
so you always go for younger guys?
Yeah, I've always gone for guys at least like between like 8 and 10 years younger.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is a 6-year age difference.
You like young, fresh meat?
I do. Yes, I do. I like everybody.
Yeah.
No one goes, yeah, like an old, worn out piece of slab of meat. That's what I want. Old, haggard.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of his life.
So when you see something attractive, do you go after it?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, not anymore because I have a boyfriend.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but I did. I, you know, I was married for a long time. So,
right.
You know, you suppress that when you're married. And then once you become single, mm-hmm. you know, you do whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But, well, you know, I don't know. I'm in a committed relationship because I want to be.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. I was in a marriage because I was like trapped.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So, but I didn't cheat.
Yeah. And well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's admirable.
Thanks, Sam. That was my stroke for the day. No, it is admirable because it was hard. It was really hard.
Yes, it is.
When you're not in love with the person, well, I don't know your situation, but when you're not in love with the person and you're living with the person and you're committed to them, but you don't want to be committed to them.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You're like.
Yeah, it's the worst thing.
It's the worst thing.
Because you're like trapped.
You're trapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think I should have gotten a medal or an award or something because it was rough. It was rough 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you won an award.
Yeah, I would like
okay.
an award.
All right.
Can you work
we
on that?
We can muster up something. Yeah, I'm sure. Our call-in number, 818-602-4498. Phone lines are open. We're going to take a little break because we have our guest in the studio, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. We'll be right back. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Sam in the Morning Show, where we're not afraid to trim off the fat.
Let this be a reminder to you all that this organization will not tolerate failure.
It's LA Talk Radio.
Okay, thanks for coming back, and we do have a guest in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
How you doing?
To you, Sam. Fantastic. Just wonderful. Looking over L.A. What a great view.
You haven't been this high in L.A. before,
Oh, I have, huh? But when you're talking over the radio and just talking, it's just a great feeling as well.
Yeah. I think we've all been this high in L.A.
She's great. She's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Try to get just a little bit closer to the microphone.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Great.
Don't be afraid of the mic.
Oh, you know what? Okay, like a vocalist.
There you go. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, you want to make sure you're in your head. You know?
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So, your name is Sean.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
Sean Zeke Williams.
Sean Zeke Williams.
Yes.
Cool name.
Thank you.
And Andrea already recognized you from somewhere. So tell us a little bit.
Well, back in 1989, there was a popular show called Star Search. This was the first American Idol show.
Yes, with Ed McMahon. Yeah. I totally remember that.
Yeah, I was a 5-time team vocalist champion on that show. But what was funny was I look at reality television and the industry today, and I've noticed that it's not the same steps and protocols that they used to have back in the 80s. You used to have a Jewish agent, and you had to you couldn't just be on a on a line standing and waiting to get on national television. It just didn't work that way.
Yeah.
So to Screen Actors Guild, Writers Guild of America, everybody's getting upset. This is why we had the strikes going, because we're like, wow, we went to school, we made money, we did this, we had to do all the hoops and loops, and everybody else that's the common person can just be on national television. So we were kind of like, wow.
But don't you think that a lot of those people that stand in line, most of them are freaks? I mean, the ones that really get really far are the ones that like on American Idol. A lot of those people already had record deals before they were even on American Idol.
So
the cream rises to the top, even though they take a lot of,
That's true. That is true. But even when it comes to judging this competition, which is American Idol, no disrespect to the show or to AT&T, but realistically, I see people like Randy and Simon. I would love to hand them a microphone and say, sing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'll take Paula Abdul's because she has platinum albums to prove it.
Right.
She has everything to prove it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think you don't necessarily have to know how to sing to be able to judge singing, wouldn't you say?
Right.
Really?
I think so, because it's the way it sounds,
Yeah.
Because I think they view this from like the audience's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
I don't think they necessarily have to sympathize or empathize with how difficult it is for the contestants, But so how old were you when you...
Well, I was 12, 13. I started with Seth Riggs, which was like the top vocal coach of the stars.
He's
Stevie
amazing.
Wonder, Michael Jackson, everybody.
Really?
He's the best.
Everybody. So from there, I said, wow, I'm winning all these shows. I'm on Punky Brewster, Throb, 7-Eleven commercials with Slurpee, I just remember I did a lot of stuff back in the day.
Where's all that money? Do you still have?
Did
you get it? Or did your parents get it?
My parents actually invested that money, and they actually had an entertainer, which is good. I guess they knew that they didn't want me to be another Gary Coleman case and sue them because they took all the money and spent it. Yeah, it was just retarded. Yeah.
But apparently your parents were involved in this. I mean, you were very young, so
I was.
They give you that freedom.
Yeah, I think I was 8.5 years old, banging on their stainless steel pots and pans to the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. So that was, they're like, "What is this kid doing?" But they knew that I had talent from there, and they said, "Hey, let's get him into choral groups and show choirs." And
nice.
We started from there.
Yeah, is that how you started in choir?
It was called Witwoud Wonder Kids. Mm-hmm. It was Vicky Clements back in the 80s. Martika, I don't know if you knew this artist, but she had
Martika.
Toy Soldiers.
Toy Soldiers, I
she
have
was
it,
in the
yeah.
group.
Yeah,
so
really?
It was like Small World.
Really?
Wait, she was in the group that you
Witwoud
were on?
Witwoud Wonder Kids, we would travel like Las Vegas, Virgin Islands, just around. Mm-hmm.
You were living the life at 12
awesome.
Years old.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, let me tell you.
Yeah, sounds like the Mickey Mouse Club, something like that, right? Where a lot of people are starting out.
Yeah, but a little less being conceited.
Because you
were convinced of what you did. The Mickey Mouse, you're like, hey, look at me. And then your head blows up and you believe all the hype. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So you said you won a few competitions on Star Search?
Well, five times.
So five different seasons you went on?
Yes. Basically, I did Let It Be, We've Got Tonight, I Just Called to Say I Love You, Man in the Mirror. And I remember doing the fifth time singing Man in the Mirror, Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. So in a tux tuxedo. So maybe if people.
And how old were you?
I was 13. At
13.
Wow.
So 5 years in a row. So you started.
Well, it wasn't 5 years. See,
five seasons in the
Aquarius Theater, which was this was filmed. Every week we would tape, and then what they would do, they would take the videotape and they would sync it within 1 month from the original recording. So this is why we're like, hey, next season is going to be in 3 weeks. It's like, how is this possible? But that's how they did that.
Wow.
So it was pretty neat as a little kid being on that setting. I also remember the Union players. And if people out there are listening, you know, in these archives or listening live, the band that was up on stage, they were like, they played the music, the TV track to Star Search. But it was funny to me because I was the one that was like the kid that was like, hey, full of energy, and let's check out that drum set. Well, I go behind that drum set, and the thing's made of rubber. I'm like, what's going on? I look at the guitars. There's no chords. I'm thinking, what's going on? No wonder they never made a mistake out of all those shows. That's great for all those listeners.
Who did you compete against? Did you compete against anybody we
Lisa
know?
Lisa Damiani. I think that was the finalist, Lisa Damiani. Mm-hmm. She was she sang Barbara Streisand's from the musical Yentl or something, or the motion picture Yentl.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. You brought us a CD, and we're going to play something from
that.
Yeah,
this is
what
I'm
doing now.
But
do you have any of the CDs from when you sang as a child?
You know, I wish I did.
You never saved them?
But you can see... Oh, yeah, I do. But I brought this...
Oh, you didn't bring it with you.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can Google my name. It's S-H-A-W-N-Z-E-K-E Williams. And you can Google search that or my company, S as in Sean, Z as in Zeke, W as in Williams... Mm-hmm. And entertainment.
SZW Entertainment.
Yes.
Awesome. So I'm going to play a couple songs from your CD. Which one should we go with? Number one?
First one is Destiny. Yeah,
Destiny.
Written by John Rothman. He's written like for everybody out there.
Really?
And so he said, hey, Sean, can we feature your 4-octave range? I wrote this especially for you. And I said, sure.
You have a 4-octave range?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Awesome.
Okay, well, let's listen to it. This is Destiny, Sean Williams. Sean Zeke.
I was like, that's Janis Joplin.
I thought that's number one.
yeah.
Sounds just like her.
Yeah, it keeps going to number three. I know. Is that it? Okay.
Yeah, that did sound like Janis Joplin. That was an ABC show.
It's pretty good. You should have won.
Oh, you got a voice on you, man. A crescent moon, a shooting star, a silver beam, and there you are.
That's a little bit.
Awesome, man. I mean, you've got a voice on you.
Yeah,
huh? What do you think?
Higher from there. It goes higher from there.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's listen. Something, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Andrea,
some
what
range.
Do you think of it? Yeah. Wow.
Thanks.
So, did you always have this kind of a range?
You know, I think it all started, like I said, when I was 7.5 to 8 years old, banging on the stainless steel pots and pans.
Yeah. There you go. And I think if you start training your vocal cords at an early age.
Well, yeah, Seth Riggs was great for me. Even though he charged, I think he says because I was young, he only charged $500 for that half hour. But that's okay.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
I developed the chest voice, which you could hear on illustrate on that song. But he didn't work my falsetto range.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I went to Cal State LA University, studied with Dr. Pollyann Baxter, won a full scholarship there.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the former vocal consultant to Pavarotti, Luciano Pavarotti, the household name, or the late.
Yes.
So being and studying with these people, singing in Latin, singing in German, singing in Italian classical arias, it was really great for me. Because some men out there, they would, you know, even back in the Baroque period, in Chichester Psalms or old, you know, boy, you know, choirs would have to be castrated, you know, at the age of 12 to still have the sound. So
talk about
I still have my goods.
Yeah.
I still have my goods. That's when I'm like, oh yeah, what manpower? Yeah.
Girls just have to get boob implants to be a star. Guys have to get castrated.
Exactly. Well, Andrea, next time you run into a guy without balls,
you'll know
he's a singer.
I'll be like, sing me a song. So you have a very operatic kind of a sound, though, huh? Did you ever do opera?
You know, doing in the touring company of other groups like Rock Theater, we did excerpts from, because I'm a member of Equity Theater, so we did Les Miserables.
Yeah, because I can hear, I mean, I'm from back east, so I hear you in
Music
that kind
of
Broadway.
Music of the Night, Family Opera,
but you're not
Jesus
fat.
Christ Superstar.
You're not fat, so that might hurt you. Well, that might hurt you. I'm serious.
Yeah, he's still young. Give him a chance.
Wow, Sam, what an attack. Sorry about that.
Attack?
You're awesome. I'm already getting, I know.
You're going to get fat. No, all right.
No. For the record, this guy is very handsome. Okay,
no, very handsome.
Really?
And in shape.
Oh, I've
and
heard,
in shape.
Definitely
heard
in shape, yeah.
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 And cool hair. I like the hair thing.
Thank you. You know, I get the Johnny Depp, but he's mixed. That's what I get. I'm like, no, dude, I don't look like Johnny Depp. No, that guy's like Johnny Depp. I'm Sean Zeke Williams.
Yeah.
You can Google.
Yeah. I'm not a Johnny Depp fan.
No.
No, I'm not a Johnny Depp fan.
Ooh,
no.
Wow, the first woman that actually said that.
I know.
That's true.
Yeah, he bugs me a little bit.
Yeah, he bugs me too. Because he plays in those weird movies and stuff. You
I just
know?
Feel like he needs a bath. I just look at him and want to scrub him. He just looks dirty to me. He does.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Even before Pirates of the Caribbean, he does. And he's pompous. He's so pompous.
Yeah, that
Johnny
is.
Johnny Depp. Oh, come on. You're the same character in every movie.
Yeah. The 14-day shave. Maybe, you know, it worked. And I started doing that, and people were looking at me thinking I was going to steal their purse if I walked down the street, so I started shaving.
Exactly.
I said, it doesn't work for me. Obviously, I'm not Johnny Depp. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Black, Japanese, American, Cherokee, Indian. I can't pull that off.
Is that what you are? Black, Japanese, and
American, Cherokee, Indian.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's.
Oh.
Yeah, you definitely have a unique look.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Definitely. Great, well, you. I didn't say it was good. I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
kidding.
Good, yeah. Yeah. You ugly thing. Yeah.
No, I'm, I'm so glad you're here. He was saying this shit to me before you got here.
Oh,
now,
really?
Now
oh,
it's all man. On you. He likes me and doesn't like me. I'm just kidding.
You guys are great.
Well, thank you.
Sam looked at me all serious.
No, no, no. I'm trying to remember. Did I say something yeah, like yeah. that?
No. No, you've been lovely to me.
Yeah.
This is what this is what's so great about the show is it is the real Hollywood. And when you talk about it, you know, Sam, this show is reflecting of what, you know, people, you bring a lot of people that are talented, energetic, and their intellectual property is great that Hollywood listeners and people today need to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I guess if we can all talk about our different views and the way we feel, man, how come the world can't do it?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it weird?
Yeah, yeah, because it's too many people, that's why. Mm. You know?
and they don't have a microphone or a radio station. Oh, well.
That's awesome.
Great. So now you brought us another song, Obama's Change.
Yeah, Obama's Change. Oh, yeah, political. I didn't mean to get political here, but...
That's okay. I mean, you know, these are political times.
Yeah, my mom said, you know, you did songs for this. You wrote songs for these artists, this. Why don't you do something for yourself? Why don't you do something and expose your talent? And I said, well, Mom, my privacy and freedom is priceless. Do you know what they're doing to all these celebrities and people when paparazzis when you become famous? I mean, if I kiss a chick, it's going to be all over the billboard. Zeke kissed another chick. I mean, you know, do I really want that? Or disrespect to the women. I'm sorry, not chicks, because they're not little chickens. Sorry yeah. about that.
But they like to be called that. Some of them
oh,
do.
Oh, well, yeah. You know.
Yeah, chick isn't bad.
Cool.
I don't mind chick.
Right on.
Yeah.
Chick. Well, yeah. Chick. Okay. Right on. So yeah, this my mom said, write a song, you know, for, you know, Barack Obama. And I went to the websites of McCain. I went to, you know, Hillary and Obama. And I read everybody. Okay, put my ear to the ground. Okay, great. Theoretically, McCain can protect us. He knows all the rules and regulations. Great. Hillary wanted the change and something to believe in as well, just like Barack Obama. And Barack Obama just wants to unify everybody. So I'm thinking taking the United States of America, which is United States, unifying, if you look at that word meaning, unity. and I'm thinking, wow, so everybody here that has a view or is a different race or different nationality, I have to accept because we're here in America. And I keep forgetting that with the high school, you know, teachings to the college teachings. I was taught to say that person right there, skin color is different.
Really?
And he's different.
Yeah.
And we're different.
Yeah.
Really? Well, yeah. What about human race? You know, yeah. Like human pride, you know, there's they have white pride, black pride, brown pride. What happened to human pride?
Yeah. No, I you know, I'm hoping that one day, and I think we will, one day, maybe not enough our lifetime.
I thought 2008 years was enough.
Yeah.
I mean, we're supposed to be these smart human beings. I think, you know, we're acting like chimps and apes out there, you know.
Because it's not about...
We're more civilized.
Yeah. People don't communicate enough, and I think that's it. So they become afraid of each other, you know. And because yesterday we had a good discussion on TJ's show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we had two lesbians here. They were on our show, and then they were on TJ's show. And so
they had nothing planned yesterday, did
no,
they?
No.
Not a lot for lesbians to do after Gay Pride weekend's over.
Well, there was plenty here to do.
Just radio.
Yeah. No, it was great radio, actually. But the thing is that TJ is conservative. And he's been questioning, he's been talking a lot about gay marriage and everything and how it shouldn't be called marriage and all that. But after he had a conversation with him yesterday, he changed his mind.
Great.
You know, and I
after
told him,
after they both
I said,
made out with him for an hour, he was like, you know what? Gay is good.
They're the last ones to make up with
it. They turned him right around. Lesbians can do that. They're convincing.
That's right. Yeah, maybe a new marriage law will be like three. Like two wives and a man. Yeah. That's the new thing. Yeah.
I think I'm conservative in a lot of my views, but I don't have a problem with it. I feel like straight people have fucked up marriage long enough. Let gay people get a shot at it. You know what I mean? What can they do?
Yeah.
The divorce rate is 55%. It's over 50% now ends in divorce. So let's give it to gay people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing is that, you know, a caller yesterday brought up something interesting. He says to TJ, he says, so you believe in separate but equal. And then that got him to thinking. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know what? You're right. Mm. You know, and he came around. So that was a major thing. You know,
wow.
You could see a transformation over the radio. So that's why I got to thinking that it's the communication that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you oppose gay people and then they come and sit here in the studio with you,
mm-hmm.
you realize they're human beings, just
sure.
like
that's
everybody
correct.
Else.
Sure.
You know?
Human beings. I
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's
that's
like
correct.
People don't expose themselves to enough things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's right. Once you meet people, you realize they're human beings. And
yeah.
You know, I grew up in a household where they weren't prejudiced against anything, my parents.
Wow,
so I didn't grow
nice.
Up with
wow,
a prejudice
cool.
against black or white or anything. And
right.
I sang
yeah.
in an all-black band in Vegas.
Nice.
And, you know, and it was just, it didn't even strike me that I was the only white person in the band. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Until people were like,
yeah.
what do you do? Until we went to Montana
yeah.
and nobody from the band would go to breakfast with me because they were like, we're not being seen out with you. We're in Montana,
yeah.
okay? Not happening.
Yeah, I thought it was Indian land. That's I keep people. What's up in Montana? I wonder,
yeah. No, Montana. The KKK is it's still going on in Montana.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's
yeah.
one thing, and that's another thing. That's we're in America, and if I'm black, Japanese American, Cherokee Indian, so I can personally say that I have friends that have swastikas and skulls and wings on their chest, and they call me brother. I have every
really?
Race calling me brother.
Wow.
So it's funny. If they can get along with me and don't see me as a threat, why can't you all just get along?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And what frustrates me is like, yes, you know, if you want to teach your kids, you know, having self-pride, you know, having that race pride, whatever that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't teach them to hurt and kill other races or
right.
other people.
Right.
That, I mean, back in 1960, the KKK were known for that. So
mm-hmm.
To me, I look at that as like a jihad terrorist tactic. So, I
right.
mean, if they're going to pull that, you need to go back to where you're from.
Yeah.
But
right.
if you're going to
yeah.
have your views but not hurt and kill anybody
mm-hmm. –
dress them up. I'll probably watch your parade, and I'll be like, and I'll clap too because
yeah.
you're not doing any harm to anybody for your view.
Right,
right.
We're here in America.
Right.
And,
well, it's like Gay Pride Weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They have Gay
Amen.
Pride, but they're not like going. You
I
know,
feel that way. That's
kill
how
the,
wholeheartedly. Yeah. Yeah.
Kill the breeders. You know, there's no signs. Gay Pride Weekend. Kill the breeders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just it's all about love. You know.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
what I feel about
yeah.
the marriage thing. You know what I mean? If you
wow.
love somebody and you want to spend the rest of your life with them, why should the government tell you you can't? You know.
I think it's the fear thing too. I think there, you know, that whole deception of fear. When you don't know anything, you don't have the information, how can you make an educated decision? So, but what people do is they'll watch that TV, they'll go to those movies, they'll talk to those friends, they'll hear that gossip, and they'll say, better watch out, you know, oh, you better watch out for those people because you better hold that purse. You know, and what I've noticed is when she was reflecting on the whole racial issue, if we looked at everyone as a human being, I guarantee we would try to understand them, to learn them. I think someone who is smart and brilliant is going to want to know you. Someone who is dumb and ignorant is going to want to beat you up and kill you off.
There you go.
Mm.
There you go.
Because they don't want to understand
yeah.
you.
Right.
They don't have the brain capacity to
right.
understand you.
And interestingly
yeah.
enough, the
they
people...
They have like a chimpanzee ape mentality.
And interestingly enough, the people that are the most passionate about this are the Christians, which blows my mind because Christianity is all based on the teachings of Jesus who loved everybody. So
wow.
it just doesn't even make sense, right? Jesus did not hang out with the priests when he was here. He hang out with the hookers and the tax collectors.
That's right. Wow.
So,
yeah.
right? So why is Christianity so like, yeah, you can't do this, you can't do that, and
yeah.
we hate everybody that doesn't follow what we believe in. It's weird.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
that's what religion's all about,
yeah.
you know, about telling other people what to do
mm-hmm.
and do it my way. And that's why I think religion makes people really prejudiced because it's like if you're not like me, you're
mm-hmm.
against me,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and
if you're not with me, you're against me,
right.
you know, so and that's why we see so much violence and hatred and so forth, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's unfortunate that people have to feel good about themselves by putting other people down,
yeah, mm-hmm.
you know, but it's like it's universal. I mean, you see it everywhere.
Yeah.
You know,
we try to get over all that, you know, atrocity and anger by putting into comic relief, which is very good. I think
mm-hmm.
that's great to laugh about it. David Chappelle, all the Mind of Mencia, all these people that are trying to bring in race, you know, Jeff Foxworthy,
mm-hmm.
we're all trying to laugh on that, you know, that mindful, ignorant thinking. And
mm-hmm.
and if we bring it into physical hate thinking, well, 2008 years have illustrated that
yeah,
of
yeah.
what happens.
Is
yeah.
redneck a race? I don't think it's a race.
It's not even a race. So, Jeff, what is that,
what
Jeff? What do you mean by that?
Are you?
What,
I'm
yeah,
a hick.
What is that?
That's what I am. My peoples are hicks. That's how we do it.
This is awesome. Yeah.
But you know who really revealed the prejudice in this country was Borat, if you remember in the movie.
Yeah.
Right? There was some parts there. There was some parts there that you could not believe people are actually saying.
Totally.
You know? And but it's rampant. Yeah. You know, especially in the South and stuff where he was.
Yeah.
It happens quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's just the way that you were raised.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess,
and some people don't break out of that. You know what I mean? Some people stay in that. You know, I mean, I definitely have people in my family. My parents were musicians, so they were exposed to everything, and they wanted us exposed to everything.
Right.
But,
right.
you know, there's definitely a side of my family that's very Sopranos, that it's like, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right. You don't hang out with the Mollies. You don't hang out with the Mollies,
right.
sis. Come
right.
on.
Right.
Toya, Tony.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, it's all right. It's
so, Zeke, I want to play that Obama song.
Yeah, yeah. It's getting a lot of hits on YouTube, and I can't believe it. David Plouffe even emailed me on MySpace. I'm under Human Pride Project. YouTube is under Human Pride Project. You can Google search Human Pride Project. But when he, you know, emailed me, and I have Barack Obama as my top friend on MySpace, I guess my second friend is Donna Summers, and all these people are, you know, heavy grinder DJ. She has over like 2 million hits because everybody is, she's like the best DJ here in New York. And
what's her name,
LA.
Grinder?
Heavy Grinder.
Heavy Grinder?
Oh, she's...
What a name.
That's, she was once a stripper, and now she's a
maybe that's why she has a lot of, you know, I never knew she had a following like that. No.
Heavy Grinder.
Heavy Grinder.
So this Obama song, did you write this yourself?
Yes, I did. It's self-produced. I turned on the TV and I heard some commentator on MSNBC say, are we ready for a black president? And I thought to myself, oh, here we go again. We're going to keep and this is going to irate the people that were taught to hate different race. So I'm like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened to... Are you ready for a changing president that's going to change and unify America? That would be cool for me.
How about just a good president? Are we ready for a good president?
I don't care if it's a woman, a man, or what, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the Writers Guild of America, we did so many things from story plots to mold society, to start trends here in America. One of them was Independence Day. What happened when that film came out? Will Smith, actor, all these... Everybody was focusing on the cinematography, the pyrotechnics, the White House blowing up. I said, stupid idiots, the world. That was not the message we were trying to get across. We're trying to get across, why does it take an alien annihilation of to blast every human off the planet for all you humans to unite and say, we're one race. That's right, brother. We need to get together. Yeah, you know, and everybody come together. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. In that film, if you've noticed, that's when the president stepped up and goes, hey.
Yeah.
If you think about it, we may be different. You know, listen to the speech. You know, that speech, in fact, a lot of feedback and commentaries on that film, a lot of people were listening to that speech. In fact, they said it helped them to get to the next level in their life because they would watch that scene of the film just for that speech. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Tragedy does that, though, I think, to people. Yeah. Even in 9/11, you know, there weren't people that were going, oh, you're black, don't push past me. Everybody was helping everybody get
out of the
building.
Oh, my God, we were looking for... people with things over their heads.
You know,
oh my God. That's and it sucks.
Yeah.
I just wish we could just look at each other like, hey, we're human, right on.
Right.
Not waiting until something happens and like, you're human too, bro. Let's go. Yeah. Hey, let's get them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but you saw the clips from that, and it really did unify, you know,
I'm telling
the
you.
Country.
Yeah. Just think if we were unified like that today, I guarantee you there would be no terrorist attacks because everybody would put their ear to the ground. We would know what happens before it happened because we would all be unified.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you know, I mean, let's say that's the ideal, right?
Yeah.
But when that guy said this on the television, I think it's a real issue. The fact that a lot of people are wondering, are we ready for a black president? So it's not about being politically correct, but rather than really examining our DNA as American people, you know, and I think it's a very real relevant question.
True, but then we have, you know, I mean, refrain this term, but then we have poverty pimps like Al Sharpton and Obama's, you know, ex-reverend that are, you know, feeding off, making money off of racism.
Right,
you know, taught things back in 1960. Dude, drop that ball.
Yeah.
Drop that 18th century stupid prehistoric thinking. It's done. It's over. Let's change. Next.
Yeah. But you see, that's their only right to exist is by saying these things. So once that's gone, what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. They're not going to have anything to say anymore.
Well, I think they would have to say then, hey, guys, we're unifying. We're getting together. Let's work together. Let's build the economy. Multi-billionaire, millionaire, you know, dollar industries. let's bring those companies back into America so we can make this system an American system. Because if we don't have a system or a machine here, how are we going to make recurring revenue?
I also think, too, people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, they also know what gets them on TV. So they know the more controversial of what they say, they're like, I'm going to get some airtime. You know what I mean? Ooh. And but, I don't know that it comes from a pure place.
But,
from Al Sharpton.
But you know, they're like self-appointed to speak for all the black people.
Oh, totally.
And that is terrible.
Yeah. I know all the black people. It's like, what is this? What about all the people? I wish he would speak for all the people. I wish a lot of people would speak for the people. And then we go to the amendments. It says we the people. We the people. Mm-hmm. It didn't say white the people, black the people, Indian the people, which were here first. I mean, it's we the people.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Okay, well, let's listen to Sean's song, Obama's Change, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
That was it.
Okay. Yeah, I know, but it didn't start from the beginning. Whoops.
That's the other song.
We're still to the end.
I'm Barack Obama. We're coming together because we believe in what this country can be. We believe we can be one people, reaching for what's possible. Please join us in changing the country.
Lift your voice and your hands. Here is something for you. He knows how you feel. Obama, the voice of America. Stand behind and support Barack Obama. United we stand, and divided we fall. Obama wants change. We can believe in if you want change. We want it now. Obama wants change. Can believe in if you want change. We want it now. The human race is what creates America. America, America. Release that hand on your mouth so you can speak. We can achieve, we can believe in Obama. With his voice, he will make all humans free. Obama wants change. We can believe in if you want change. And you want it now. Obama wants change. We can believe in if you want change. We want it now.
We're proud to be in America. Yes, I'm proud to be an American. Yes, I'm proud to be in America. Yes, I'm proud to be Americans. Yes, I'm proud to be in America. Yes, I'm proud to be in America.
We're coming together because we believe in what this country can be. We believe we can be one of you, reaching for what's possible. Please join us in changing the country.
Cool. So have you contacted them at all to see if they want to make this like
the headquarters? Yeah, I called the Barack Obama campaign headquarters, the Democratic National organization. I mean, everything. I can't even think of the names right now. I mean, everybody that I contacted. And I've gotten a lot of response from MSNBC, CNN, YouTube, and David Plouffe, who is his campaign director.
Wow.
So, and everyone wants to interview me, so like I'm starting with your show.
Yeah.
So this is the first show that they're going to hear. The first interview.
We're honored.
The first.
You had to be a little stoked, though, that Barack Obama is just such a fun, it's so lingual, you know what I mean, to say, to put in the song.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it worked with, like, Hillary Clinton, you know what I mean? Barack Obama. It was just,
yeah, you know,
it was
I was
cool.
thinking that because my friend of mine said, you know, why don't you write one for McCain and write one for Hillary?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking,
you're like, nothing rhymes with it.
But I tried. I'm like, old man McCain wants change. But we can't say old man. He's not an old man. He's an educated man, actually.
Yeah. So. How old is he?
He's is in the 70s, no?
That's old. Yeah. 70s
yeah.
old.
Yeah.
Really?
Say old
I could have sworn
70s, yeah.
I could have sworn if you're at least if you're on a cane and you can't remember your name, that's old.
Yeah. Yeah,
old,
that's old.
Old man John McCain, like, who's walking with a cane. Yeah, we got something there. I feel a rap coming.
Yeah, you're cold.
John McCain.
John
McCain, you walk with
President
a cane.
Again. He must be insane. With that
there
man,
you
Ill
go.
Brain.
Oh, kidding. My God. We oh got a God. Song coming. Come back next week
Elderly
with that
depends
one.
Wearing. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, that's enough.
Oh,
come
sad.
On. Come on.
Sad.
Come on.
Yeah. So do you think he's going to win,
you know,
John?
There is... You know, I feel like this is – if reality television is out there today, I honestly feel it's like that with this election, believe it or not. And I think that's how Bush, you know, got in this office with Florida too. Mm. It's like, you know, it's predestined. I think it's already – but I'm not going to – you know.
So you're saying
it's
fixed. It's fixed is what you're saying.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that at all.
It's
I'm
fixed.
Saying – no. I'm saying that it could be – predestined. It could, you know, I don't know why we would have this superdelegate thing going on or popularity vote. I mean, to
throw it off from the fact that it's fixed. That's why you have
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
Conspiracy theories.
I didn't say that. Okay, but basically what I've noticed is you got me on that one. That's
sorry.
Good. That's what you're saying is.
I've had a lot of cappuccino.
No, this is good, though. You're laying down the facts, man. This is great. Which is good is I said to myself, I said, well, if he is going to win, when I was doing a lot of information and reading on all the, you know, candidate websites, I realized that he wants to unify everybody. It doesn't matter who you're going to get in there. I don't care if it's a woman, man, you know, who it is. I guarantee our taxes are still going to go up. So if anybody yeah. says, well, just because that guy gets in an office, where are our taxes going to go up? Well, our gas prices are up now. Yeah. What's that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my friend just purchased the H3, and he's bragging about it. Like, yeah, man, that's great. I love that car. You know, that SUV is great.
He bought a
Hummer.
Yeah. And I'm like, God. Yeah, you're gonna spend. Yeah, it's on MSN right now. People are spending $80 to $110 every 3 days. Yeah.
He's an idiot. I have
so
a bridge
like,
I want to sell him.
So
he bought a Hummer,
dude. And I'm like, yeah, that's like, yeah. Some people are spending $800 to $1,200 in rent right here in LA.
Yeah.
I'm like. That's funny.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't get those Hummers at all. I mean, did you see?
Well, you don't get any Hummers because you're married.
Oh, thank you very much. Whoa.
Sorry you walked into that one. Walked right into okay. that one.
All right. I'm pulling out of that one. Forget it.
Sam. You're awesome, Sam.
Well, yeah.
It was out of need.
Yeah, it came out of left field, man.
Sorry.
Well, this is awesome, man. So, you know, I mean, look, the thing is that I think between McCain and Obama, I mean, I wanted Hillary to win because I think she's a solid woman, you know, and she's got, and with her, we get 2-for-1, you know, we would have gotten Bill as well.
No, he was the first black president, if you may.
There you go.
That's you want to talk about race, he was the black guy. I mean,
I just wanted Hillary to win because I wanted her to get into office and get like the hottest intern and just bang him. That's what I wanted. You know, she would have done that week one too, just
dude,
to get back at Bill.
Ooh.
She can, you know, they can act all presidential, dude, but you know, in that marriage, she's like, I'm going to be the president and wait till you see the intern I'm going to get.
Yeah. I think she wears the pants in that family, you know, I really do.
I think after the incident when he wasn't man enough to admit the truth in the beginning, I think she would have respected him. Everybody would have respected him more. But, you know, after that, you know, incident, look at her attitude, her pose, her head is up like she wears the pants.
Yeah.
And Bill, and you know it, man.
Yeah.
You know, and Bill knows it. So,
I mean, that's what usually happens, I think, when a man cheats in a marriage. Then he's forever like his wife's pussy, you know? I mean, it's like she'll push him around. She'll do whatever she wants. I didn't mean physically, okay?
Yeah!
But,
oh, my God,
but
Sam,
I mean,
my virgin
do,
ears. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
No.
But
like,
you can't do anything, you know?
Like,
Sam.
We're going to stay together.
Pussy.
You're like,
we can say that? I didn't know we could.
Oh, yeah,
FCC?
You can say shit anything.
Oh,
you
can say, haven't you heard my potty mouth?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
oh,
great.
Yeah.
Oh, internet
no,
radio.
This is internet, yeah.
You are the best,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah. And our motto is we say what we want, and
LA
we
talk.
Sure in the hell do.
He's got another song coming. Hillary's a big pussy. Play that one. He didn't know he could play that, but we can.
You mean Bill is a big pussy.
I'm going to go in the studio. Right after I leave this studio. And right
Bill,
in there.
Bill's a giant vagina. Up next.
All right. Well, let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam in the Morning. Who's calling? Hello? Well, They've been trying to call for 10 minutes, and now they hung up. So do try again. And
sorry.
So, okay, here we go again. Maybe they're trying again. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Oh, yes. Good morning to you. Shalom, my best friend, Mr. Sam.
Oh.
How are you tonight?
You guys
Shalom.
Must
have, how are you today?
Yeah, very good, very good. If you guys listen to the archives, you must know Mo by now. Mo calls just about every show. He's a friend of the station.
All right, Mo.
And he's in Oregon. Right? And do you know what, Mo? We found out about you when you were on Johnny Dam's show, that you're actually a chronic pain sufferer. Is that correct?
Oh, wow.
I'm always in pain, indeed, yes, because of too much moisture in this area. And
too much what?
Moisture.
Oh, moisture. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Condensation.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So, well, you need to move down here then, Mo.
Yeah, why don't you move to like Arizona or Nevada?
I know. That's what I'm thinking too. I have just a matter of some issues to be resolved first before I can move to Arizona first.
Are you married, Mo?
Yeah, he's married.
Oh, of course, yes.
Maybe that's the source of your chronic pain. maybe it's got nothing to do with moisture at all.
Well, maybe it does, on the other hand.
Yeah, maybe a lack of moisture.
From his wife, moisture.
Good, Sam.
His wife could be moisture.
That's a good one.
Oh, my God.
I know, we always do this to Mo. I hope your wife never listens, Mo.
Oh, dude, she's going to hate me. She's going to go, Sean Zeke Williams, who? No, never. Never. I'm not moisture. Never. I hate him.
I cannot even reply back. Eating me up.
Yeah. So, Mo, what were you calling about? Did you have to comment on anything?
Yeah, you were talking about Hillary and Obama and McCain, and you were saying that you like the Hillary become the chosen one.
Right, but it's too late. Yeah.
But the thing is, Bilderberg meeting, which is the elite meeting, it happened last week in Virginia for the second time. And since then, because they had a disunity between the members of the elite, the global elite who controls the world, and so they decided that Obama is going to be the next president. And so we saw the first time Hillary said, I will never resign from my presidency, and I will fight until the end because I'm very close to Obama and etc. Right after the meeting of Bilderberg meeting in North Virginia, and it happens every year, by the way, in different countries, but this time it happens two times in the United States already. And right after that, we saw the market went down 400 points, and then we saw another 300 points down, and we saw another down too. So basically, they are the ones who decide with the fate of the humanity, the fate of the presidents of the pretty much every country in the world. They decide who will be the next one. Yeah. So in this case, it's very, very well that Obama maybe get, there was a secret meeting between Hillary and Obama.
Well, it wasn't that secret. I mean, we knew about it, right? We know that they met and stuff, you know. So I don't know if it's secret. You mean like another meeting, a different meeting that they had or something?
Yeah, they had it in one of the senator house after the Bilderberg meeting finished. And usually, it's very odd that, she wants to become the vice president after Obama. And Obama, I'm not sure that it's want her. So they had a secret meeting and deals, whatever deals they had made in the closed doors, it will be revealed in near future.
Okay.
And however, there is a big possibility also that, because we are not ready yet for a black president, so basically he has issues with his residency because he born in Africa, and he's not fully citizen. I mean, he's not born inside the United States of America, and that's another issue that he might be get out. I mean, he has issues with that, and also there is very well the Bilderberg meeting, but the elite maybe take care of him, the Obama, because whenever there is you know, some kind of meetings or something, police doesn't check anybody else, you know. But for Hillary, for McCain, police is there. They check everybody's pocket. Everybody's, they go through security check. But for Obama, they don't do that. And it's very well that Obama may be, you know, taking care of him sooner or later.
Yeah.
And then eventually, then the next one would be Hillary. Hillary would be against McCain. What do you think of that?
No. to tell you what I think of that, I'm sick of talking about politics. So we're going to talk about sex a little bit. And
I know. Gary last night was talking about sex.
There's no chronic pain in Mo's mouth whatsoever.
No,
oh,
Mo.
My God. Gary, oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you lived in Oregon, you'd want to talk a lot, too. There's probably nobody to talk
to. I know why it's now the capital of Starbucks coffee. Mo's had 17 cups before 10:30.
I mean, from Israel to Iran to Iraq to Afghanistan.
It doesn't stop.
Talk about sex.
That's what makes the world go round, man.
Exactly.
Unless there's lack of moisture, then nothing.
Talking about sex, that's what I want to talk about as well. When you were talking about, you know, if we started back in time, you know, can't even reflect pinpoint time, but if we can go back in time and there was just Adam and Steve here on the planet, would we exist today? Would he be here, me be here, you be here? I mean, realistically, could they have a baby? I'm just wondering.
No. But,
or could two females? I'm just wondering, can two females have a baby?
No. No.
Okay.
Okay. So what's the point?
We have enough babies, though. The world's overpopulated.
So, but if you think about that, it's
seriously,
like, if you think about it, but I'm just
if you've
saying.
Ever been to the LA County Fair, you know that people need to stop procreating.
Oh, damn right.
There's too many people, and not like winners either.
Well,
a lot
they should
of
make
losers.
It a law. They should make it a law in China. Where they say you're supposed to have that many babies. I mean, we back in the medieval period.
I think we should have that here.
Right on. Back in the medieval period, they had chastity belts. Well, come on, let's come out with the Calvin Klein chastity belt. Well, yay, no more babies.
Yeah.
No more sex.
What do you think of Ron Paul? Ron Paul is very good for United States.
Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Well, he's history, Mo.
Yeah,
so we're not going to talk about him.
It's like a mute issue.
Maybe next time
it's
or
a
something.
Moot point.
But he's, you know, try again in
four. Like Mo's still trying to talk about not talk about sex.
Mo's like sex. What about Ron Paul?
He's the one. Can prevent a lot of catastrophe in United States.
Yeah.
Maybe we
can talk about Ron Paul having sex. How's that?
He can bring the troops home. He can bring the United States back to normal. He can bring, you know, our stock market is going down the drain.
You're right, but we talked about it, Mo. We talked about it a million times. Come on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Key Bank is $11.76, and just 3 weeks ago they were $30.
What's $11?
Key Bank. It was
She Bank.
And then you see another Washington Mutual. It was like 4.45 and now it's 6.57.
Mo, more importantly, Mo, what are you wearing?
Yeah, you don't want to know what Mo is wearing.
I do. What are you wearing, Mo?
I'm wearing the orange T-shirt.
Orange,
the pajama.
Orange shirt and pajama.
Yeah. Okay, Mo, listen, you have a great weekend and be careful. It's Friday the 13th. So,
bye, Mo.
Bye, Mo.
So be careful.
All right, shalom.
Okay,
shalom.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah, the man loves to talk. And he's all into conspiracy theories and stuff. And it's interesting. It's fun, you know. I mean, I don't subscribe to any of it, but it's fun. So now, what's going on with the tomatoes now? I mean, you know, all
by
this
tomatoes,
stuff.
Tomatoes, you mean women?
Is that what it means?
Yeah, they used to call women tomatoes.
Really?
My godfather told me that. He would say, she's a nice tomato. Yeah, you're probably not old enough for
really?
That.
Really? I know I'm not old enough.
Ripe and voluptuous and perfect. That's good.
There you go.
And tomato.
Red all over.
But not now because they're filled with salmonella. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, apparently,
there's
like as many as 228 illnesses have been recorded from this. And but you know, I never realized how much I really like tomatoes and how much they help the food until you don't have them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you go get a sandwich or something. It's so dry without tomatoes. Do you like tomatoes, Andrea?
I do. Well, see, I'm from Jersey. We have the best tomatoes in Jersey.
Really?
Yeah. They're so much different than here. I mean, they really taste like fruit in New Jersey.
Really?
Here, they're sort of just
they're
like
sweet,
a wet thing on your sandwich. But we were at I was at a restaurant in Burbank, and the waitress came out and she says, "Yeah, we can't serve any tomatoes because of the the warning."
Right.
But our tomatoes are from Canada, so they're okay.
Yeah.
And the guy went, okay. And I thought,
oh, that's great.
But how do you know? You know what I mean?
Like, no, they know where they get it from. You know,
I don't know. I wouldn't trust it.
Well, I don't know. When I was down at Subway yesterday, they had a sign that says, I mean, wherever we get our tomatoes from is okay, type of a thing, you know. So.
Well, but but scientifically, they still don't have a research study that says, by the way, we found where it originated from. It's the soil, or it's the tomato itself.
But this is also a very new thing. Like when I was a kid, there was never poisoning in hamburgers or tomatoes. Or remember, it was spinach.
Right.
I think it was just like we had just the theory, like only the strong survive.
Yeah.
Little Jimmy didn't make it through the salmonella tomatoes. Oh well, he wasn't strong. Bury him and move on.
She's ready to dispose of anybody who's not
100%. That's it. You know what I mean? Now it's like, oh, it's a little tainted. We have to throw everything away. We can't eat tomatoes. If you have a good, strong immune system, you could probably stand a rotten tomato.
Probably. So so you're saying if you're weak, the hell with you.
Get rid of you. We don't need you. It's true.
No, she needs to go for president.
It's true. I mean, we're raising a very weak society.
Yeah.
We are. Especially men. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Whoa.
It's true. Come on.
We are weak, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as soon as men understand that God could be a woman, then I think you'll be, better in the
God's not a woman.
You're serious?
I'm positive.
Not a man or a woman, no.
Yeah.
Really?
It's a lot beyond that.
Yeah. Really?
I think
I mean,
boobs.
We're born by woman.
No.
The woman's always right.
Nah, boobs disprove the theory that a man could be a woman. That God could be a woman. Because
the boobs?
Yeah, because God hooked men up. Come on, to be honest.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't know. He made us crazy.
Who, men?
Yeah. No. I mean, it's just at the sight of some flash. Okay, never mind.
Look, he's already crazy. Look at
him.
Sam, come on, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me started on that one.
Sam, he went to the mountaintop. I want to hear the news, Sam. Tell me about the new arc. Is the new arc coming? What's going on?
Yeah, but no.
Well, hopefully in Cedar Rapids, they're building an arc.
Yeah.
Seen it?
Yeah, but it is crazy, and it's very torturing, okay, to go crazy after a few folds of flesh.
Yeah,
you know, but that's what we do. I mean, and especially if they're moist, then we're really then we're really crazy.
Well, it depends on what folds of flesh it is.
Yeah.
And if it's moist, you call in to Daily Talk Radio.
You don't want under your stomach to be moist. It's kind of gross.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, definitely the theme of this show has been moisture.
Thank you, Mo. See?
Yeah, Mo. He's great.
Yeah.
Moisture.
So, Sean, so what are your plans for the future? I mean, are you going to continue recording? Do you have any released CD? I mean, have you released any?
Everybody's telling me to do it. Everybody's telling me to get back into it. And like I said, there's a part of me that loves the way my life is, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Great.
But there's a lot of people, my parents, friends, colleagues, mentors, high people in Sony, BMI, Warner Brothers, try to take me out to Beverly Hills, restaurants. For some reason, I love my privacy and freedom.
Yeah?
Cool. If you love privacy, you don't become a star.
It's priceless.
Yeah.
That's what pisses me off. People that are stars and they're just like, why is all this paparazzi following me? Because you're a fucking actor. That's why.
But, yeah, you should have thought of it before.
Jerry Bruckheimer, he goes everywhere. And no paparazzis follow him.
Yeah.
And he's the dude who puts up the film.
Because
it doesn't sell magazines. They don't want to see it.
Exactly. He's not newsworthy.
Yeah,
you know?
He's not attractive. Yeah. Paparazzi only photograph attractive people.
Yeah, we want to see Britney get in trouble and shit. That's what people want, you know?
Yeah,
that's
give the people TMZ. What they want.
Yeah, that's what TMZ is all about. Definitely. Yeah. And that was the first thing you looked
at. That was the first thing I looked on. There's nothing good, though. There's nothing good happening.
No, there's never anything good happening.
Bob Barker was the big story.
Really?
Yeah.
Doing what?
What happened?
I don't know. I thought he was dead.
Yeah, I was shocked to see what happened. He resurrected from the dead? Oh, my God. The price is wrong. It's not right.
Yeah, I was just happy he was still alive. Look at that. Bob Barker, still breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. On Star Search, the only name I remember, and probably most people, is Sam Harris, right?
Oh, he was great.
He was like a breakaway winner.
Oh, my God, 15-time winner.
Really?
Somewhere. That was his big thing.
Yeah, yeah. And they did that. And I'm like, wow, dude, like, how'd you do that? Yeah, everybody's like freaking out how he did that little
yeah. Nice. Yeah. Nice. But he never became big. I mean, you would have thought after that, because I know he recorded an album or something after that.
Right.
And they did play him on the radio a little bit, but then he sort of disappeared.
He died out.
I was working with Glass Slipper Productions and with Preston Glass, and Preston Glass wrote Songbird, Kenny G, some hits for Whitney Houston and Anita Baker. And then after I won Star Search, there were deals. There were you know record labels, everybody, back in the day.
Right.
And but the only thing, the mishap was here I'm recording all these songs, and they're saying, oh, man, this other group, ahead of you, 8 months after you'll be New Kids on the Block, that we're tied with them. But you're before them. You're a solo artist, Sean. Yeah. You're going to make it. We're going to put you in Capitol Records. Well, lo and behold, this little kid, 13, great. Hears all the hype, starts believing it. All of a sudden, I'm like, wait, where's my album? Why isn't anything coming out? Well, Sean, the record label wanted you, but we wanted them to buy our, production company for $300,000.
Oh. You know what I like about you, Sean, though, is that you're not bitter.
No, I'm not.
No, he's not. He seems like a very upbeat.
No. My life, like I said, is perfect the way it is. And so if I was a talented person that didn't make it, it was poor, I'd be upset. Like, I'd probably be going on strike Paramount Studios like everybody else does and saying, but why do that?
Because you have money. Is that what you're saying?
I'm all right.
Yeah. He's okay.
No, because lack of money does make people very crazy and stressful.
Yeah, but
isn't it true if they actually, like I said, if they don't have the correct information, they can't make an educated decision. So if they need inspiration, if they need to talk to somebody, they can Google me and I can email you, and I guarantee if you have hands, arms, feet, and a brain, and a mouth, and eyes, don't stand, outside of a freeway and ask for money as homelessness. Use that gift. Use those talents, and please do something with that, because there's some people that don't have eyes. They're blind, that don't have legs, that can't walk. They're, they've come back from war,
right,
and they fought for us. So, I mean, come on, guys. Make something better of yourselves.
Yeah.
Well, they make a lot of money out there.
Well, I understand.
Some of those
that.
People make a lot of money.
Yeah,
I mean, windshield wipers in New York are making $100,000 a year. No, they are.
Really?
Yeah, they did a study that they're making $100,000 a year. What? How are you going to say to that guy, get a real job? He's like, fuck you.
Oh, man, Sean, we're in the wrong business, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would rather just see people like, people who fight in the war, they come back, they should get a house. They should get $50,000 and or something like that. But we're giving our money to basketball players, golf players, football players.
Basketball.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, why is the money going to the people that are protecting
our
country?
This is the age of celebrity, and that's who we value the most, the celebrities.
That's our royal family in the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
Celebrities.
So you get paid based on what you contribute to your employer. And these people bring in a lot of money because we love them as celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
We watch their movies or their games or whatever.
Well, I love
they are.
The people who protect us.
Yeah, there you go. But we don't.
I mean,
we don't appreciate those
basketball,
enough.
Basketball.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's going to help us.
I know. Who cares? Who cares about basketball, And it's the soldiers on the field,
Yes.
It's the teachers out there. It's the nurses.
Exactly.
It's the people that really are out there and do jobs that I could never do. These are the people that I admire.
Well, lucky for Lindsay Lohan, there's not a lot of you people.
Yeah.
She would be very upset. Poor little Lindsay Lohan. No one cares about her.
Yep.
Wow. No, you're right, though. Teachers make what? $20,000 a year?
No, some make Kobe 60. Bryant? Some make 60, but it's still peanuts.
But still, what did Kobe Bryant make
peanuts,
this year?
Thank you.
That's true. Our focus is in the wrong
Yeah.
In the wrong place.
Then what you get is a lot of kids, because I used to be a substitute teacher, and a lot of kids lay their future on the hopes that they will become another Kobe or another this or another that.
Right.
Because that's what we value in society.
Right.
You know?
And their parents lie to them. That's the other thing, too.
And so then they miss out on school, you know?
No, it's true. You know, you're 5'6", your chance of being a basketball player is slim. But I see it a lot because I live in a complex where they have a lot of children actors. And so all these parents leave their homes. They come out here and they're trying to, you know, help their kid become a star, you know, because they read these things and it's like, your child's basically retarded. He's not going to be a star. He can't even talk. Look at him. You know what I mean? And this poor little kid is missing school every day because he thinks he's going to be the next, you know, Brad Pitt. It's like, you're ugly. Come on. You know what I mean? You should be honest with your kid. If your kid has a skill, great. If they're talented. I mean, your parents knew early on.
Yeah,
you're playing the drums on their pots and pans when you're six, you know?
That's right, yeah.
But if you can't find 2 and 4, you're not going to be a drummer, you know?
Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, guys, we're at the top of the show. And first of all, we'll thank Sean.
Thank you.
I keep wanting to call you Zeke all the time because
call
it's just
Sean,
a,
Zeke Williams, yeah. Zeke Williams. Because I just like saying full name.
I like Zeke Google. Williams.
You know, my son is Sean, so I keep thinking that nobody else is Sean except my son.
Boy, we could just do an hour on that. Yeah, okay, Sam.
Is that spelled S-E-A-N or S-H-A-N?
He is S-E-A-N, like Sean Connery. Yeah,
oh,
that's,
I
think that's where the name
Sean
really started.
There's Sean Connery and your son. That's the only two.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot.
That little guy, Sean Connery.
Yeah. So Sean Zeke Williams, we can find you on ShockZekeWilliams.com.
Correct.
Right?
Or Google him.
And all Google him.
Google.
Yeah, he's very proud of being on Google and everything.
Do like that.
That's cool. And okay, so these are the links. Do you have any MySpace or anything you want to give out?
Yeah, MySpace.com/Human Pride Project, YouTube.com/Human Pride Project. And you can just Google that, Google my name, Sean Zeke Williams. Yeah,
awesome.
That's the plugins.
Awesome.
And also, for those who are listening out there live, LA Talk Radio is the best radio, and we can say anything we want.
Thank you. I didn't know that, so thank you. Yes, and you are, I don't know if I should say this out yet, but you are thinking of doing a show with us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So we'll definitely have you back. Yeah. We'll promote the show and everything. So if you guys like Sean, do stay tuned to LA Talk Radio because he's going to come on board sooner than you think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, we have to thank Andrea.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You spent an incredible 2 hours with us.
Yes.
I'm really grateful that you came in. Did you
Me
have
too.
Fun?
I had a great
bit?
Time.
Did
yeah.
You?
Yeah, it was really fun.
It seems to happen in these walls, you know, between those walls, is people have a lot of fun here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
yeah.
cool and stuff. So,
well, you're a lot of fun, Sam. Have,
thank you very much. And so are you. You're very funny and,
thank you.
And you're easy to talk to and stuff.
Thank you.
So it's really awesome. You're natural.
Thank you.
And why don't you plug a couple of your shows and your MySpace, whatever.
Yeah, you can go on my MySpace. I have my calendar there. It's / Andrea Natoli.
Natoli,
N-I-T-T-O-L-I. Yes.
Okay, great. And are you going to be anywhere performing soon?
I'm going to have a show coming up. I don't have a date set yet. It'll probably be at the HaHa, my Friends with Benefits show I'm going to do in the next couple of months.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So check out HaHa. That's in North Hollywood, you said,
North
right?
Hollywood on Lancashire Boulevard.
Hardly anybody goes to North Hollywood. Who the hell goes there?
What are you saying, Sam?
No, well, what I'm saying is should go be in Hollywood here. But
if you want drugs, North Hollywood is the place.
Okay, then sorry about that.
No.
And now they're calling it NoHo.
No-ho,
huh?
Yeah.
To
no-ho,
sort of
make,
yeah,
right.
To me, to, yeah.
NoHo.
Yeah,
yeah.
NoHo's here.
Now, some people live in the Valley. They don't want to go over to Hollywood. You know,
so they go to North Hollywood.
So they go to North Hollywood. And they feel like they're you're in Hollywood. I'm just a little north.
Yeah.
A little north of Hollywood.
No resemblance at all. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining
us.
Although it's a Friday the 13th. And have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
The home for entertaining, irreverent, and cool talk is right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Sam in the Morning Show, where we're not afraid to trim off the fat.
Let this be a reminder to you all that this organization will not tolerate failure.
It's LA Talk Radio.